I don't initiate. If you ask the question of initiation, while I'm in that area, there are two conditions of approval to indicate that the person who is asking the question is approved. One, rain has to fall. Two, the rainbow appears in the sky. Or someone unknown to the person who is asking the initiation ask a question that only initiates for myself know what the question is. You will not know the question he's asking. But those who are initiated know the question already. So it's one of the three.
So if the question comes out.
If the question comes out before I leave you, you're approved. If it doesn't come up, then I'll wait till the next time I come back. So that was why I don't initiate. Years ago when I was asked to initiate, I didn't want no ego trip. So I said, if you folks are going to put me in that situation, then you better approve the people for initiation and give them tangible evidence that their love is valid. So whenever they sit down to meditate, they can forget everything in the world. They will never forget one of those two things that happened when they were initiated. Because that's their link with their higher self. So one of the three things are, and that's what we call the approval, rain must fall, or you see a rainbow in the sky, or a question that only means you can do something. So if you know the question, and if I tell you a question, that would be valid. So if the person is to walk in, even if they're not initiated in the room, and they came in at the meeting and just asked the question. The initiates know it exactly. Remember, what is evidence on the table? Because it must come from unconnected sources of ourselves. It's evidence of the table of intelligence is in you already. The initiation is shifting the role from being a passenger in the car to the driver of his own car. All your life, before initiation, you're a passenger and you can get away with making mistakes at the heart. But the day you initiate it, and that's the approval, if you intend to live what you say, you're given the technique of how to fire the mode to react to the atoms. And then on your own, you're going to drive your car. But before that, I'll forgive you for everything you need to do. So that's basically what the initiation is. And those who are initiated know, you don't have to think of me or anybody, you've got another group. Not even the group. You'll sit down and close your eyes and reflect upon that incident. When I was initiated, it was given to me, and up to this day, when I sit down to meditate, I can live the moment of the approval and the end result of the experience that way. That's basically what is involved in the initiation. It didn't make me smarter than you or you smarter than me. It only make me know that you're approved by your love and that it's not an ego trick, I'm not a false part. And secondly, that you're assuming responsibility for your life by the spoken word. So the technique is to make you face yourself and make that plan. Now, I know there are other schools of initiation, but this is basically what our initiation is involved.
Does it get into teaching some of the, say, perhaps, like the living techniques?
The initiation? Special people, and except that you clean up your body and eat properly before you it wouldn't entail the initiation for us, unless you come across somebody talking to Ethan. And then they may make the reference of initiation during that time, and then you may wonder what it's all about. But we are involved first with teaching you what to eat them, so that you can eat your body. Years ago, I was talking about all of the initiation and found a bunch of sick people. So we have less than maybe 100 responsibility. After that, I said, no, that's not fair to the person. The person told me, keep that, get healthy. And if you want to persevere on to find out and stop being a passenger and assume the role of being a driver for your existence, then initiation kick off. And it's not something that we go on for making, that's not to do that. It is everyone who has been initiated, wherever I've gone, will tell you the three approvals have occurred in their life. So they have no ego trip. They know they have a one-to-one connection with God. It's not a church. It's not a belief system. God, this is the only temple that there is. And this is the only connection we have is the spoken word of the atom. But love, to want to assume your responsibility is the reason why you asked about it. Not knowing what is involved. And then when you're told the approval is the evidence that your love has made contact with your higher self, that approval is a visible manifestation that everyone around can see. Last week I was in Santa Fe, and somebody asked a question on a Sunday night. I made the same comment. Sunday morning, I ran for my train. And then a whole lot of people were approved. Then that was Sunday. Then the host said, maybe there were a few people here who didn't get initiated. And where would be care to have a second? And I said, if it's approved, I'll do it. The rain fall that afternoon, the other people didn't come back in the morning. But they were approved. Now, there were clear blue sky in those 2 days, but the rain fall as evidence of the love. That was sufficient to convince a lot of people how great the love was. Another incident was I was in Tucson, when a young man came to me around 1 o'clock at night and said, I'd like to be initiated. He was the son of the host I was staying at. I looked at him and I said, you know, I don't initiate people if ever to give my name. I said, unless you're approved. He said, what do I have to do to get approved? And I told him, if the rain falls, if you saw a rainbow, or someone asked a question. He looked at me and said, yeah, 4 o'clock in the morning, the rain's falling and crazy. 6 o'clock in the morning.
I'm gonna have proof, I'm gonna have proof.
It needs to happen later.
Well, I'm in the area. If I leave, that's nothing. Then I come back. While I'm in the area, if one of the three things happen, it is tangible evidence of the approval of the body. So it is not me per se. The only reason why initiation is done in the human form is that you don't live an illusion of false belief. That's why Jesus said, not to come unto the Father, but that sometimes things will occur in your life as evidence of the approval. And the human being has to have the interaction with another human being for the instructions out of it. So it's not a sitting down vision. You have the tangible evidence of the impossible, rainfall or rainbow, or someone asked a question that you don't know about.
Taking a shower.
No, sir. I can't get around that easy. But the evidence is there, and you know
You're not putting off any wire trip on anybody. You went out the window for medical practice. It is that true love between you and God, because the one one created you became all of us. But you don't know how to cast us, because you gave each one of us individuality. You can only test individuality with its love. And that's all the teaching the teachers have to offer. If your love is great, the Father will approve. So the tangible experience is one of these three conditions. And you say a rain, because it represents water, it represents baptism by the Holy Spirit. You say the rainbow, because that is the glorious enlightenment of all we will see inside ourselves. It's a rainbow, right? But the question we don't know, so you have to get to somebody and ask it. And that's the unexpected. And that's what God is. Then we perform that. It's all about it's no matter for me. No one is a teacher, God is a teacher.
The initiation is done privately?
No. If the approval occurs, it is done among other initiates. And another thing about it is this: once there's a new initiate is accepted, the old initiates, that one initiate before, they get a present given to them. So they are more willing and hoping. Not partial. But they get booster charges. So you're not left to yourself at this work. So they are hoping you can get approved. So they got booster charges. So we know it's not some kind of game. It's a conscious principle that we have not for centuries. But it's either it rules or I didn't want to initiate the other rules by going home. When people ask me, I'm telling you. Because I knew there were a lot of people from all over the world coming in, thinking it would be along the basic facts. That if the present love is great, I'll have something tangible to satisfy that love. But no matter if we never see each other for the rest of our lives, that one experience was tangible. That the love of God, the Father, you're not fooling yourself. And you could withstand any trepidation, frustration, because we have this. That's why it's like that. I know there are other people who initiate it. And those who have had the approval know they have something tangible to be able to do. That's the one thing.
How is it that you can decide not to personify yourself as a guru and to run, develop your teachings or have a situation with your initiates that is more typically like the guru-disciple relationship, which I assume you moved through when you were studying years ago?
The time is coming that the Piscean Age is ending. And prior to the Piscean Age, the guru came from an agricultural heritage where prostration, respect, to the individual as a representation of the truth and offering instruction. We are moving into the Aquarian Age, emerging from an agricultural to a technical. Your Ananda came to this country. He was sent by his guru to this part of the world. I wrote to him years ago to go to India to study. And then he wrote and told me, don't go. The best of India will come to you and prepare yourself to meditate and prepare yourself for initiation. So he slapped it into me in the Western world with all the mechanical ideas in order for me to realize it had nothing to do with, quote, guruship. That the principle was within me, I had to understand it. When he made the transition, I said to myself when I got the telegram that he had gone into the higher state of consciousness, I said, I missed the boat, I should have gone and see the man. because I really don't know anything. What am I doing here? Right there, my eyes closed, and I heard his voice speak to me. And if you hear his voice, it's like, kids are talking 10 times louder. So you never know where you're here. Right? And he said, you know it all, I'm not dead what you want. Now live in the world and be in the world and carry on. So he never wanted to see me, even when Kriyananda offered to bring me to California when he was alive. He says, the guy says, here's a man living in Canada teaching meditation and doing good work. Why don't you bring him here so we can teach him all the techniques? He says, if he's doing good work, leave him where he is, don't bring him in. He didn't want me to go through the charades of the guruship.
Mm-hmm.
He kept me away from all that even when I met Kriyananda. And Kriyananda came to see me, but he was so concerned. Why wouldn't Yogananda want to see somebody to give him the religious approach?
Mm-hmm.
And when we met, I said to Kriyananda, I said, you know, you're a manship in this life. Party, not completely. I know how it's all that. Nitty gritty much shit. Good, I said, big people up on the door and put up work. I said, but you will go and achieve high awareness by renunciation, you'll go to women, but eventually the household. And make a thing kind of person. He couldn't see himself becoming a household after he was a renunciate, taking the vow. But as it is, the way he's married and everything, and he lives in a Western consciousness now, and not promoting the early stages, which I knew you have to go through. I didn't have to go through that because I've been through that many, many other lives, being renunciate monk, renunciate rabbi. So I've been all the renunciate group. I'll come back in the murky, murky way. So here I am living in the West and born in the West to teach the person. It is not, quote, churchianity. Real Christianity is inwardness and connectedness. And therefore, Jesus put it in a simple way, pick up your cross and follow me. I only teach one type of asana. People come to me and ask me, Adam, do you teach yoga? I say, yes. The only asana, you know what asana means? Posture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is it.
Starting with two people walk. No, I don't teach that.
Uh-huh.
So that's why
I am like what I am. I'm not teaching people. I've met a lot of gurus, and they all know that I am not promoting, and they don't want it. They don't even want to phase down that, but because the heritage has come that way, they're not trying to hurt people's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But they realize that sooner or later, as the Aquarian age becomes more obvious, the flexibility consciousness, the up and doing consciousness will take over instead of the sedation consciousness that has come into the Piscean age.
Yeah.
Sedation, renunciation, was the way man had to come. Nothing is wrong with commitment and integrity is all that is left, and that's the Piscean age.
Mm-hmm.
How committed you are to live what you say and how much you back it up, that's the integrity.
Mm-hmm.
So the Aquarian age doesn't offer us guruship, quote somebody's in the chair. It offers us G-U-R-U, the real guru. So get up and use your right consciousness to unify yourself. So that's what I have.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how come I did not want to initiate in a regular man. And I asked that if I'm going to do it, then this would be the way it should be for me, acting it out in the West.
Mm-hmm.
Get you to accept yourself and God and make love in the first place. So how can I be a guru? I said, but until I know you're approved, I can't do anything. I can look down the corridor of time and see, but I can't interfere. Because your personal integrating with the principle, your personal experience must come from your own love. You voice the request, then that's up to the higher consciousness.
Donna, what happens if somebody is my initiation and already initiated? Does the line change? I mean, if you're initiated by another teacher, say, and then you get another initiation, what happens to the previous one?
Nothing.
Oh, so in other words, you can have many initiations.
Okay, put it this way.
Yeah.
don't throw away your maps until you arrive.
So your maps, you said maps.
Yeah, don't throw away your maps until you arrive. But I'm a fun joker. And even after you arrive, don't throw away your maps.
You might want to get back.
Then I want to stay there.
Yeah.
So you see, I have many initiations of many gurus, and still, like my brother Frankie, you see, I got to do it my way. I'm a nitty-gritty hard-headed guy who can see of kowtowing that I didn't grow up. I grew up in it. Don't get me wrong. I have tremendous respect for it. But it is not for all Western growth. It tends to sedate us. It's all right for one who lives in the East, whose agricultural heritage. But they're waking up because they want that nice automobile too.
Mm-hmm.
They're fed up with that four-legged horse going all over the place and getting stubborn. So that's why they're changing too.
Why was it appropriate for the agricultural society to worship one man, a woman, as a guru? And why did they develop this whole thing where they said, some said the only way, others said the best way, is to have a master lead you, because you cannot possibly do it yourself. You have to give all to the master, and then he'll give it back to you.
All right. In the agricultural thinking, you got two types of animals, a cat and a kitten. The kitten don't do nothing, but mother cat grabs it up here and puts it over there, and says, later, mother cat comes up and picks him up. And that's how one school approaches it. Then there's the other school. A monkey carries his other monkey baby on his back. And therefore, he will never pick up that monkey to carry it someplace else. That little monkey has got to get on his back and sit there. And she'll jump and the monkey will go.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Now, then there's a third way. It's called pull up or shut up. So, in my approach, I have to try and bolt. See if my pussycat.
Yeah.
I had the pussycat technique given to me, and I had the monkey technique given to me. But pull up, shut up is something I had to experience on my own, so I fell off a building and broke up my body, only to realize that God isn't sitting in a throne waiting for dead people. My brothers and sisters who are evolved masters in doing nothing to help me, other than look at me and say, oh, what stupid fool you are. And then I realized that I have a choice to clean up my act and live my word if I accept my body as a true temple of God, and not somebody sitting over there making gestures to pacify me as a passenger. Then I realized the truth is that I gotta be a driver, and if I gotta be a driver, I can't fool myself a red light just to go through. So my best guru is my automobile. So in Western men, the do-it-yourself approach by personal mistake is the best guru. That technique is what I came to evolve. But I appreciate my other gurus who say, like a mother cat, grab a kitten here, okay, sit down, meet you, don't do nothing, that's the passenger, that's, or jump up on my back and let's go along. Well, that's fine, I've done both. It has one handicap in both of them. If I sit down and don't do nothing, I get sleepy and sedated and fool myself. If I keep jumping up, I just slip off. Not only I'm the fool. But if I get behind the wheel and I accept red means stop, green is go, and yellow go like mad, I better follow the rules. Because I don't have two or three decisions to make in my head. So I realize I'm quicker and more to my consciousness by the personal commitment. And that is the only difference between the other two approach. I have to assume my personal responsibility and get behind the wheel and drive. Now, I'll tell you why I like it. I definitely don't like the other two. I love to sit down and let somebody do things to me and have higher consciousness. I love it, yeah. But it's not giving you any sense of ongoingness, because God is still in you, and God is ongoingness. If you keep jumping up all the time, You're going to get into 40 of them down at the tree you want to see of the world. So that ain't too good either. But if you get behind the wheel, you got to respect those who are around you. And then you see a nice sign saying, drive defensively. Drive courteously. These are good mantras for you being your own self-aware guru. It helps you to accept yourself better. You don't feel guilty and you don't feel left out. You're in better control, and then everyone around you is yourself, because you don't want to spend one point. You're not going to try and take away their mistakes from them, but you're not going to override their frustrations and build yourself better off either. So you're going to accept that the Buddha says, pick up your cross and follow me. Each person must live his own horoscope and not be afraid of it. And that's the best teacher you have. But anyone who points that out to you as the best means to arrive at your own awareness, that person understands it in our modern time.
And that's why the prophecies in the book of Revelations never speak about one man, Jesus, reappearing again. They speak about a whole sky of light. It'll be a communal.
Yeah, because people are going to realize they can live their horoscope. Now, I have a sister, a wonderful spiritual sister, who said to me, Adano, when you know God, all your good and misapplied decisions are fulfilled. When you know God, all your good and misapplied decisions are fulfilled. Now you see how realized that sister is. I love that we heard each other. Okay.
So how do you know God? How do you get behind the wheel? You've got a personality and ego and all these things that are not going to get behind the wheel. They want to go the other way or fly a plane.
Very simple. Don't breathe. Then you know God very fast. But if you take the next breath, you got to be thankful. And then you're going to pick up your 2 feet and start living. You see, no matter how we try, how can you love God with all your mind if you don't breathe?
You don't start to do this. So it's like, one way to get it is a near-death experience.
Then before the death experience, you had the birth experience. Cut the cord and you don't breathe, you didn't make it, right? So if you fall off the building and you don't get your breath back in, you didn't make it. So in between the two breaths, now you know where you are.
Falling.
Right, okay. It makes you appreciate quickly what you are instead of who you are. So
if we haven't had that, we just fake it until we get it.
That's all right. You got to remember one thing. It could be worse. never got a chance to try it. But you see, better to fool yourself for a certain length of time. Eventually, you're going to quit fooling yourself, because why? You're going to realize it's not necessary. And that's why there's no commandment, thou shalt not lie. Well, thou shalt not bear false witness or make statements about your neighbor that are not true. You see? But to lie to yourself, it's all right. Because after all, this is a big, fat lie. Who says this is solid? When somebody shows you under a microscope, it's tenuous. There's a bunch of force, and it's all atoms. Then you realize, hey, my eyes show even.
So a lie is just who kidding who?
That's right. Yeah.
Who's kidding who?
Sure.
I've heard the term walking, and the interpretation that I understand about a walking, when somebody is ready to depart this body, another being, soul, comes in and takes over that body and fulfills it.
Yes, no, maybe. First, you must understand. Yes, some people are like telephone booths. And they walk in, they're coming with the telephone, but as usual, they always push the phone away and start to see they're a quarter rated phone. Because that's how most walk-ins want to operate. They don't want to accept the birth process, so they may use the weak mind of the individual who may come to the kit, allow the operator to use the telephone, but they've got to give something in exchange. They may use the person's body to satisfy their particular not wanting to come into the body and work by certain conditions, or they will have to make that person who is going out have something worthy of going out. So they can give them certain information that they never would have before, and let that person feel important to the way to go out. And that apparent other being may use the body for the duration of the body. Good. That's body. No, there are no walk-ins other than your own emotional fear to face yourself. But you like to put it in some other label so that you can override your ignorance and think you're smart enough to cope with others. Then maybe the walk-in is the entity that never made it to godization looking for a cheap ride. Since you have a very weak mind to believe that this walk-in can utilize you and possibly may give you ideas about yourself that you never had, and that will compensate you in some way to be important to others. Now, if you go back to Brother Jesus, he gave a sermon on the Mount. And it was called the Beatitudes. Now, if you reverse the word, you'll see attitude to be. How to be an attitude. And the first one is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is a kingdom of heaven. Now how are you going to be poor in spirit in order to inherit the kingdom of heaven? The very first beatitude is there. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven.
That be humility.
No. That means spirits mean a lot of entities who hang around you waiting to utilize your body frame and don't want to make the attempt to go into the womb to work out their karmic debt. You who don't give them a chance to enter you, you are poor in those spirits and rich in spirit of God. But if you use them, you are rich in spirits and you lose your chance to be in heaven with God. But being poor in spirits may not mean you don't have no connection with walk-ins of any type using your mechanism to deprive you your true understanding and identity with God. Because what would they want to use your body for if you were a realized person? Now, when you're a realized person, will they come around?
Mm-hmm.
Good. The telephone booth is always available to the public. And that's what we have to understand on the science. Now, I'm not criticizing it. There's a difference between a moth and a butterfly. What does a moth do before it dies?
Usually.
What?
Burn
the flames. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Burn. And that's what they want them now. They'll never be butterflies. You ever see a moth that doesn't rot? But you always see butterflies that don't rot. And they don't fly into no light to die. And that's the difference. Nature can say that way to inform you not to be a moth, but to be a butterfly. You're not here to criticize or condemn, you're here to observe how we need to set these laws up, and it's we who must make the decision ourselves to understand the truth. So, walk-ins are valid, and yet more important than the walking. It is your accomplishment of overcoming the spoken word. And to him that overcometh, I will not send for the second time, but I'll make him a pillar in the house of the Lord. A pillar means your body will transform to do one of two things if you overcome the spoken word. One, your body will not rot and will walk into you. Two, you may not leave it for anybody to see it, because you never realize you were ever here at all in the first place. So you may take it away and go through the wall, leaving everybody puzzled as to your accomplishment. That is all the thing you do. And if you forfeit those two wonderful qualities for a walking, think of it first. Then the third thing is, you can come back and forth and visit your loved ones and give them enough evidence that they might be selling themselves short in their ignorance, and they should strive to overcome the spoken word in order to merit the truth of God in themselves. So you have the facts to work with. So, to him that overcometh, I will not send for the second time. When you ask the question what they have to overcome, they have to overcome the spoken word, that whatever they say, they must live. And don't say something you're not going to do. But as long as you're not an initiate, you're entitled to say anything in this world, and we who love you have to forgive you. Even God will forgive you. But the moment you're initiated, there's no forgiveness, because you are behind the wheel. Prior to that time, you're a passenger. And there are a lot of passenger drivers who tell the driver how to drive the car, but he never can put on the brakes. Have you ever been in that situation where you tell the driver to drive the car, passenger? Look out, you did it. But did you put the brakes on? But the person behind the wheel is the real driver. And so when you are initiated, you're the real driver of this wonderful mechanism of temple of God. And you have three opportunities to stick it out. One, if you stick it out, now that you're a driver, obey the rule to live what you say, then you merit non-decomposition like a caterpillar, which is a model becoming a butterfly. Otherwise, you take it with you, and they got enough evidence that Jesus took his, or come back and visit your loved ones and give them evidence that they're in no place other than become invisible to their eyes. But you're going to eat food with them to satisfy their curiosity, and you may allow them to photograph you just to satisfy you do exist, or you may not. And that's your option. But you are a free person, Lord of yourself. Nobody uses you as a telephone gift. Are they going to be an initiate also? Is that a question?
No. How important is it for an initiate to be with another initiate in your life as a have another mate? Should two people in a relationship both be on a spiritual path of a similar sort?
Yes, no, maybe. First, you must understand all three, and then you'll see which of the three in the right time frame works out to the benefit of both. All right. I'll tell you a story. There was a man who was married, and his wife loved him very deeply and cared and prepared his food. He was a military man, and during his career, he heard of Hindu teachings, so he retired. And then he made a journey to India to look up Hindu teachings. I'm traveling all through the Orient there. It's very hard to find who is a real teacher because I got lots of them all by the sidewalk and all over the place. So one day he arrived at some ashram and the person said that the teacher wasn't there, but he'd be there in the afternoon. And the teacher didn't come that afternoon, he'd come the next day. The teacher looked at him and said, what can I do for you? He said, I'd like to be initiated. Hard to hear on my journey about teaching. The teacher says, well, I'll tell you what, I'm on a trip to visit some people. I'll be back in a couple of days and we'll take care of it. Is that okay? In the meantime, you stay in this room and visit this place till I get back. The teacher left. The man stayed. And the teacher took about 3 days to come back. Within those 3 days, the man had diarrhea, all kind of illnesses, and was ready to check out during the entire absence of the teacher, tearing his hair off and everything and going through every kind of miserable charade as a person crazy with tropical sickness and everything. But when the teacher got back, he didn't know. Someone knocked at the door and he came out rushing to the door and saw the young man and he said, the master is back and he wants to see you. And all of a sudden the fever left him, the vomiting left him, he pulled himself together and he went to the hall where the teacher was sitting. And the teacher looked at him and said, are you ready for initiation? So he said, well, I guess I might be, I don't know. He said, I only ask you 3 questions. When last did you drink alcohol? When last did you eat meat? And when last did you have sex? He said, I ate meat 4 days ago before I came here. I drank alcohol about the same time. And the last time I had sex was when I was in America with my wife. Oh, all right. Then, I tell you what. If you stay here 2 more days, you'll be ready to go home. So as of now, I'm initiating you. And you tap him on the head, and bingo, he went flying into the inner light. And then he said, if the man was ready to go home next day, he said, now, this is strictly between you and me. Has nothing to do with any other person that you relate to, that you are initiated. Go home and live a normal life. The man went home. His wife was good, prepared food for him. And when she came home, she knew he used to eat meat and bacon and eggs and alcohol. So he comes into the house, and this is the first thing he said to his wife, honey, I no longer follow that life. I do not eat any meat. I do not drink alcohol. And I can only satisfy your urge if you have an urge. But I'm following a spiritual path and I'm an initiate of your teacher. She said, all right, I will deny you your food, what you want to eat. You tell me I'll be very meticulous because you're my husband. He says, he made up what he wanted to eat. So she prepared the food very meticulous, 3 times a day, no meat, no alcohol. And only when she had an urge, he would fulfill the urge. But he would not generate any craving to make her feel that he was a person deprived of any compassionate exchange as a husband. This went on for years. He went back and forth to visit his teacher. The wife was very consistent. She prepared the food, she never criticized all the hours he wanted to go in the room and meditate. And only when she felt the urge, she was there to fulfill the urge. It wasn't his urge. But when she felt the urge, then it was fulfilled. So she can't say she was denied. All right. As time went by, the woman does not ask anything about his spiritual activity or criticize, and she is not an initiator either. But she would drink her alcohol, eat her meat, and satisfy her urge, and spend whatever she wants to spend for her own fancies. One day, his teacher is coming on a visit to America, and he wants to impress his teacher of how sincere he had been and how good his wife. So he offered it. So that evening, the teacher is there, and the wife is there, and the husband is there. She gave them all they needed to eat, and then she went off in a little corner to eat her temple food. Next morning for breakfast, before the breakfast would be served out on the table, the teacher looked at the wife and said, "I'm going to initiate you today." That blew the mind of the husband because he knew that she was not the type of woman and that she never would ask for a thing like that. And how would a teacher of his caliber that offer such a thing to this woman? Now, that made him think. His teacher can't make a wrong choice, number one. His teacher's not going to override all that he said about eating meat and drinking alcohol and sex, and then he's going to give it to this his wife. So that man is turned up in turmoil. So the woman said, "What do I have to do, sir, to get initiated?" He says, "Well, when last did you eat meat?" He said, "Last night." "When last did you drink alcohol?" "Last night." "When last you had sex?" "Well, I did not have the urge until 2 days ago with my husband." He says, "Then you're ready for initiation as of now. You don't need alcohol, you don't need meat. And if you do need the urge, you're both entitled as husband and wife." I initiate you, tapped her on the head, and bingo, she went flying inside. The man kept silent through that entire day. And the next day, when the teacher is about to leave, to go on the plane, the man said to his teacher, "Sir, can I ask you one question? I don't want to be rude or feel that it's funny, but why did you initiate my wife? And inform them she was not the candidate, and I'm not going through any of the disciplines leading up to what was necessary." And the teacher looked at the man and said, "My son, you crave initiation from the brain. And you got it from me. She craved initiation from the heart, but she never asked for it. And she got it from me. Now go in peace and love each other and be happy." And now he has gone on to cosmic vacation. She's hanging around and she's still happy. That is why I said a yes, no, maybe. We can't rush it, and we don't know when we will get the option. It is one of those things between the brain and the heart. We don't know if you are craving the initiation to be a spiritual person from the brain, or if the other person is craving it from the brain, or they're craving it from the heart. So this is how the teacher has to define between the two of them. So you can't mold the other person like that.
Do
we
tend to be cosmic nurseries to people that are interested?
We end up doing it.
Or is it just something weird that's happening? I'm just not sure. It seems like I had a lot of help on the spiritual side. People who aren't helping me a lot. They kind of pushed me. So if I hadn't had that push, I don't know what would have happened.
Yeah.
But I don't want to push others, but sometimes it seems that ones that come my way, they're sort of interesting, but not as much. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, should I be getting, just forget them and go on to people that are more curious, or, you know, I guess I was wondering, I was wondering if your love life is, was a place to work out a lot of karma real quick.
When we push, we may have a repercussion. When we don't push and respect each person, because they have to live their own horoscope, that's why I say pick up your cross and follow them. We can't make the other person into a spiritual being. We can only make ourselves into a spiritual being by virtue of living the spoken word and allowing the other person to make their own decision in their mind. After a while, the respect will emerge and the awareness will change and becomes interested in that way of life will start emerging. So it is not something you can push on another person, but it will eventually flow between two people to see there is something of value in a spiritual life and a non-spiritual life. And that's why we can't push it. Now, if you have a teacher, it's not his role to go force the other person to become it. But if he's in the presence of both, he's supposed to sense the difference between craving for something in the heart and craving for something in the mind. All right? The husband craved to be initiated by the mind. He wanted to go to India and look for teachers. He wanted to be something important to himself, and that was the mind. It wasn't from the heart. The other person fulfilled her obligation to be a wife and fed the husband, and when she was told that that's the way he's going there, she didn't criticize him or put up any mental defense. She kept up her role as a wife and did her responsibilities. So when the teacher came to visit them, he knew that the heart and the mind were two different aspects. And therefore, granting her initiation was to teach the husband that not to judge the wife because she might not be living up to the way he thinks. She might be much more in tune with the feeling inside. Is it? And that's where initiate life is. The initiate life is not molding others. It is respecting others. But first, it must come from within. That's why when people ask me to initiate people, do initiation, I didn't want an intellectual game. I wanted something from the heart to be certain that when the person did get the experience, it was from the heart. So I said, I will not initiate unless some type of tangible occurred in the atmosphere, but they know I have nothing to do with it or anything. So when I said, if the rain falls, it really has to come from the heart. If a rainbow comes out in the sky, it really has to come from your heart, because you can't intellectualize about those things. And if somebody come and ask the question that you don't even know, it really has to come from your heart. That's the reason I have to go that way. So we're not here to mold anyone. But what is interesting, the moment your heart opens up to pursue it that way, anyone associated with you will feel it from the heart and from the mind. They start just because it's a principle in the heart.
Mm-hmm. That's why sometimes if the inner emotional feeling is certain.
Yes. Okay. Let's have a few minutes of meditation and close our eyes and play the music. This portion has to do with the actual bonding of the sperm and ovum forming the human body. We had a previous paper that I brought here a year ago that involved sperm in the father and the processes involving the endocrine system and the ovum in the mother and the processes involving the endocrine system and
each one transferring their own thought patterns, emotional feelings into the DNAs and RNAs. Tonight we have a combination of the bonding principle going on in the body of the actual journey, and copies of it are primarily first for the initiates. They have a copy of it because they've got it. And if anyone who is non-initiate wants it, they may take it and give it to you, because I only have enough for people who are initiates in other areas. So that's why if you hear it tonight, you're in the presence of people who are initiates already. In listening to this tape, two things are required. Don't analyze it. Feel it in the skin. It's intended to reactivate the memory of the journey of the sperm and the ovum within you that bonded to form you as a human being. It's also locked in to a principle of man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Since it's a therapeutic process in the music and not of art, it's designed to feed the cells and move certain immune functions in your body and to stabilize certain trace minerals and bring them back in balance. So you may feel a glow in the skin. And when you feel clear in your mind, and the wall may seem to become transparent, don't panic. Just observe. Thank you.
Now, allow yourself. It merely says you have to relive the memory of the journey of the sperm and ovum bonding to form you as a human being, in order to have total control of the sonics within the atomic structure by your voice. So if you say to the mountain, move, it has to move. That is why we can't go about believing and not knowing. To believe and not know is superstition. To know and not to understand is still ignorance. And to know and understand is wisdom. But then when you understand and you experience, you're enlightened. So you have to have experience in the atomic mass. Can you take a bath in a blueprint bathtub? Mm-hmm. Not possible, right? So there is no room for imagination outside of the experience. So ancient men spoke in a certain way, and when we narrow it down to what the actual experience is, your whole structure is a living testimony of how you're put together, what you are, not who you are. And until you realize that, you go around in circles and you're busy trying to convert people and end up like working yourself in all kinds of different times.
Can I ask you a question about belief? I was thinking about what you were saying earlier about ourselves taking responsibility onto ourselves, learning age, etc. And I just a few days ago came across a quote of a Buddha someone showed me once that said something to the effect of, don't believe anything that any master tells you, don't believe anything you read, don't believe anything that a group of people says is right, don't believe anything unless by your own experience you have tried and tested it sufficiently such that you are absolutely sure that it's true. And I was wondering how you contrast that with an example of say from the Bible, when Jesus, you know, the old doubting Thomas story about how Thomas wanted to see for himself that it was really Jesus come back again, and he would poke his finger in the morning, and he said, you know, ye of little faith. And I know that I have come to associate that story with, oh, Thomas, you naughty boy, you shouldn't have wanted to see for yourself. You had such little faith, and yet, I don't know. Now I don't think it was so bad anymore. So.
Now, don't confuse agricultural language with scientific understanding. Doubting Thomas is not, in the layman's view, someone who was supposed to have no belief. And Doubting Thomas was a scientific-minded person who could not validate without testing. A scientist is not going to believe an idea until he put it to a research examination. Creative intelligence is not going to make something until it tested to find out if it's got integrity. But to believe is essential to start you off like a child, because you have to have some kind of a triggering agent. And so, blessed are they who believe and have not seen is valid. Blessed are they who believe and have seen may seem to question the integrity. But are you going to trust the fact that you didn't see the blueprint of a bathtub and never measure it to know the correct measurement and go use it? In today's realization, they don't add up anymore. Years ago, it would be taken for granted, blind faith, and it would go by. But that condition leads to a failure in man. And that failure is wanting something for nothing. That's like a child. It's never going to assume responsibility for its action. Now, the moment the child assumes responsibility for its action, it stops being a child and becomes like an adult. And that's what Paul is saying. When I'm a child, I think like a child. And now I'm a man, I think like a man. To believe is fine. But and not know ends up in ignorance and fanatical behavior. Now, we may wish for something, we may believe in it, we can generate enough urgency in ourselves to see it happen, and when it does happen, in its simplicity, we pat ourselves on the back for being totally integrated with our belief. But if it fails us, what are we going to do? We're very self-destructive and end up performing harikari. That's the sculpture in belief. Until we are conscious, by trial and error and comparison, we don't have integrity. And integrity is brought out by pain and suffering, by surrender, and by evaluation through trial and error. So for that reason, we transcend belief and enter into knowledge and experience and liberation. Now, to him that overcometh, I'll not send forth a second time. Is that belief or is that conscious application of oneself?
It's application.
You get. So, as a child, we have to encourage you to believe. And as soon as you get to the stage where you are no longer a child, you have to assume responsibility for your actions. So don't feel threatened with the idea that assuming responsibility for your actions is decrying or tearing you down. It is stepping up one level from belief into active participation and commitment to one's integrity. Because, know ye not that ye are God. And if you don't make this discovery for yourself, who will do it for you? He that doeth the will of the Father is my brother and my sister and my mother. He that followeth my word is my disciple. But the disciple is not above the master, and the master is not above the disciple. It is enough that they be friends. That means I can't believe and not know. I got to experience and test to the reality. It is true. I am what I am. and I ain't going to go any further, and I can't make you into it. I got to let you be and allow you to fall down and get up and appreciate yourself. But if you're still a child, I'll lead you to the point of a child. When I realize you're playing the role of the passenger, that's all you will ever be. When you assume the role of the driver, then you'll be the brother, the sister, the mother, or your equal friend. It is not that they be friends. There is no master, no disciple. But follow it in the word means do the thing you say and finish it. Now, no diploma in this world ever says you have an A, B, or C. They say you finish your studies and you get your diploma. The same thing in God realization. It doesn't say you have an A, B, or C, or you meet the creative consciousness. They say you stuck it out to warrant the experience. The sperm stuck it out to the ovum to bond, to form a human being. And if you don't, and the cord is cut and don't breed, form back in the womb and start all over. See? So we are emerging from the Piscean stage of agricultural thinking into a more specific, dynamic way of living in the now and accepting our responsibility without fear. Better to live in the anguish of mistakes and correction than the illusion that you'll get by without ever making a mistake. Because two things will occur. One, you'll acquire an efficiency in your immunity. And if you don't, then the opposite thing will occur. Your immunity will be deficient. And immunity is your divinity. Practicality is your spirituality. And command performance is your enlightenment in a practical application. You can't fool yourself no more or where you are, or who you are, what you are. Mm-hmm. Anytime you're practical, you're spiritual. And every time you have efficient immunity, you're divine. Mm-hmm. And if you can act command performance, you are a free man, Lord of yourself. Because you don't have to make excuses to that.
What is command performance?
Please stand up.
Pardon?
Please stand up.
Please stand up.
See, you didn't have a question. Sit back down. And that is, he that do the will of the Lord is by brother and my sister. Instant command action of the environment in relationship to the creative intelligence. Consciousness is ongoing activity. So when you live it, you know it. You don't have to feel yourself anymore. See, it's as Moses, take your shoes off.
Yeah, daddy.
That's what we're talking about. Come on, perform. Alright. But obedience, again, tends to generate a form of guilt and a sense of unworthiness. And those are all agricultural language. It weakens our kinetic action in ourselves. If we say, respond to command performance, it makes you more dynamic and your kinetic energy works in your favor that they say, will you obey me? It isn't that obedience is not a nice word, but it's valid only in an agricultural heritage. As we move on into a mechanical environment, and not mechanical in the sense of materialistic, in a sense of conscious responsibility of commitment, we need a better terminology to free us up from anguish patterns. So that's where we use a different terminology, but it means the same thing we can do it in the end.
A responsibility is a good word. Ability to respond. Right,
right, exactly. Now, ask a simple question. Don't let me push your hand on both of them, right? It's very strong. Okay. Say your age in years.
47.
resist. Now, say it in terms of revolutions around the sun. Go ahead.
47 revolutionary
times
around the sun.
I resist. See how strong it is?
Oh my God, where did you get the energy from?
Your word is in your mouth. When the person who wrote his book, Positive Thinking, was just on the verge of giving the world some idea what we do to ourselves. So we use language that depletes us, and before you know, we get old and sick and die off prematurely. When you use the words correctly, you ain't going no place. You have longevity lifestyle.
What about the laws? Do the initiates, or do you get it on the inner principles of the universal laws? Staying that as your own, being initiated. Is that assisted? Or does it have anything to do with it? The wisdom of an understanding of the universal principles.
The principles of the universe are very simple, but we don't want them. If I told you how simple it was, would you accept it?
Yes.
All right. To love the Lord thy God with all of your mind. That means you can't speak no more. Very simple. Try it. If you fall asleep, you're not loving God with all your mind, then you're cheating Him, and then you wait till you wake up again, point to finger at you and say, you failed your job. You don't love me, then. That's it for you. But if you love me, you can't fall asleep. Because your mind went off into some other direction. Do you see how simple it is with you? Now, of all the things that the disciples did and the people did to Jesus, the only thing he could decide them for is falling asleep. He didn't criticize them for anything. Even though they were bad people using the church as a place for buying and selling, that was never really a threat to him. The real threat was when he asked them to come pray a while with him, and then after an all eternal look around, he was sound asleep. And then he did it to them who were a little bit. Could you stay away from them? Meaning, how could they really say they're loving God, the principle of life that sustained them if they fell asleep? Love has to be on a conscious level all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
So how do we build that love so that it's there 24 hours?
Don't sleep.
No, but if you don't sleep, then it's like, I get pissed at the old man because I can't go to work the next day.
No,
so how do you deal with love?
Because you told yourself you got to sleep, therefore you're going to get weak and go to sleep. When did you tell yourself you love him so that he will always replenish you?
But what if you don't... what if you don't really feel it? I mean, he's kind of an amorphous thing right
here. Your nose is where he is, you know. You can't talk without your breath. So you have the right to say to God, my breath, you put it into me, you brought me alive.
So keep me awake.
Of course. You don't work for nobody, so let it think so. But you got to tell it. If you don't, you can't blame nobody.
Ask and you shall receive.
Oh, I see. Now we wake up.
Hey.
I said the thing is very simple, but we don't want it.
So, do you not sleep at all?
Those who know me over the years will tell you. One time I went to a place in Carolina. I was met at the airport by one man. He drove me to his house and he kept speaking to me for 8 hours straight without breaking the tone of questions.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of 8 hours, he went inside and another man began to speak to me.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke to me for 8 hours. By the time I looked at my clock, it's 16 hours gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he finished up, another one picked up. And I started to begin to laugh to myself. I said,
see what these guys are trying to do. They're going to rotate and shift to see how long I stay up. So I kept on listening to them let them talk. After 24 hours, the three of them read their first shift. The second 24 hours, they read their third shift. After 72 hours, all of them were sound asleep. And me, I'm sitting down talking to the wife of the cousin and answered the coming. I stayed in the place for a week, visiting. And when they took me back to the airport, the fellow said to me, says, I hope you're not angry that you did this to you. I said, what for? You have to test it for yourself.
Oh, God.
That's funny.
And one that says, you ain't suffering from insomnia because I'm a doctor. He said, you got control, but that's quite a thing that I have never seen before. I said, no, it's not control. I accept breath is life. You accept it as something to shut off and turn on, as a means to resuscitate yourself. How can you turn off life? So if life is there, it has to generate consciousness. That's its purpose. It doesn't generate intellect. It generates consciousness. Therefore, I'll sit down here and be conscious of you as long as you want. I breathe. That's the difference between what you are and who you are. We use words, but are we conscious of what the words really represent? When you're conscious of what the words really represent in terms of your factual understanding, there is no more miracle, because it is God Himself who has become us. The miracles are gone, and the wonderment continues. And so, as far as the word "street" is concerned, spell it back to me.
Yes?
Yes, you peel off your illusions every second of your brain in terms of now I sleep, now I don't sleep, now I sleep, now I don't sleep. She loves me now, she loves me now, she loves me now. So we go through this oscillation between right and left brain. Am I asleep or I don't sleep? Am I asleep? How do you have? Because we breathe in and we breathe out. We breathe in and we breathe out. If you only breathe in, that'll be it. Or if you only breathe out, that'll be it. But we can't. We gotta breathe in and out.
So what goes to sleep, actually? Just the, I mean, it's not
expectancy.
Because the program's already there that you lay down, you've got to have the sleep. But what if you, reprogramming doesn't seem to do it either, because you can reprogram yourself with it. Stay awake the whole night, and that doesn't come out to it. So,
right.
Well, because expectancy is still there in the sense of.
Keep talking. You're discovering the facts about the fact. It's only by talking that you'll realize what you're saying to yourself. You expect to be what? Asleep or not to sleep?
Not to sleep.
And if you expect not to sleep, why do you fall asleep? Is it because you've conditioned yourself that it's necessary to sleep? And now that you're denying it?
No, that one I know from you. But no, there's another one behind that one sometimes where it's not necessarily where you think you need the sleep. Maybe it's because you don't do something with that. You know, you think you should just lie there in your wake rather than do something with the time.
Who programmed you like that?
See? Environment and accepting it.
How do you teach a child not to sleep? Or do you...
They
I mean, I can't remember.
Smart.
I mean, I wonder
she
that. Because it seems like a baby grows. I mean, the day Ray Nicole was born, and the day after, she slept for 8 hours, and my mom was when she slept all the time. I mean, it seems like it was something they needed. They did, without us putting them to bed, or, you know, before. I didn't program her to sleep the first time she slept.
Did I? It's just five-year pattern here, doesn't it?
So it's genetic? The programming is genetic?
Think what you just said. If God was to create the first pair of people, would they have belly buttons?
Hmm? Would they have belly buttons?
Apparently not.
You would then how would they sleep? If God and you were present when he was creating the first pair of people, would they have belly buttons? Then how would they sleep? To create is to instill all there is at a conscious level. And from then on, you have to tell it something to do in order for it not to do. Then it will learn by trial and error what it must do. If it told it to go to sleep, would it go to sleep? No. So why should I?
Oh, reverse psychology.
It was told not to eat an apple, did it? Why should I not eat the apple? Once you tell it don't do, it's going to question why should it not do? It has individuality. So if you tell a person to sleep, he never goes to sleep. But to tell him not to sleep, he always goes to sleep.
You go to sleep all the time.
So for that reason, scientists come up with this statement. 1% of the time, you are factual in terms of the physical laws of nature. And 99% of the time, you are placebo. That's why they call it mind over matter. Because the human mechanism is 144 elements in the 1% of momentum and 99% acceleration of momentum, which they call mind. There is no mind. But there is momentum and there is mass. And there is a shifting relationships of the momentum to the mass. Therefore, your car can go any speed as long as you build the accelerator and the speedometer to what you want to do it. If you don't turn the ignition on, it'll sit there all the time as a mass. The moment you turn it on, and if you build it with a governor that it can go above 45 miles an hour, no matter how you press in the accelerator, and the governor is on, it ain't going to go above 45 miles an hour. But the moment you take off the governor, like a cruise-o-matic or some kind of control, it can go to the full extent of the acceleration for which the speedometer is needed for.
So what's the governor in the human?
The remote. In the beginning, or beginning,
what's the word?
Or in the big, in, that's another way of looking at it, where you start begging, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwells in men. So your ignition switch, your brakes, and your accelerator are all in that Word. You are your best enemy and worst friend.
With your mouth in the sense of your words.
That's right.
Now when you're lying down or sinning and you're not speaking, then thought, because before you're going to say something, you have the thought. So how does the thought tie in? Is that just part of the geometry, whether you verbalize invisible, visible?
Yes.
So it's more than just the speaking. It's even when you're lying there at night and going to sleep, because that thought is as if you're speaking it.
All right.
Or like the internal dialogue that puts us to sleep in a way.
Mm-hmm. But thinking and speaking are the blueprint of the bathtub. Action is the construction of the bathtub to see if it leaks. We can think and talk about making the bathtub, but we'll never take a bath and then rebuild it. So thought, word, and deed of the three, which is the most important? Good. But you have to have the idea, and which means ideal,
I deal out, you know, like a dealer playing a card. You talk to yourself in order to fool yourself, in order to make you act so that you will appreciate yourself. So we call it placebo effect, or we call it hypnosis, or affirmation, or programming, or whatever you call it. You can never act it until you apply it in a physical form. You have to apply the action. The idea and the word are not sufficient without the action. Because it's by the action we have some way to evaluate if there's a mistake or if there's no mistake in order to correct it. So the action has to be there. Now, if no mistake ever occurs from thought or word, you'll take it for granted that you never make mistakes. And that will be something for nothing attitude.
No demonstration.
Right. But if you make mistakes and correct it, then you learn that this brings integrity by responsible commitment. You get the integrity out of the responsible commitment, but you don't get it for something and not an attitude, because you'd be like a child walking over, knocking down everything, and totally irresponsible as to the cost factor of what the thing is. So when you're a child, you think and act like a child. When you're a man or an adult or a woman, you think and act because of the responsibility. Now, I said before, the tapes are available for initiates first, and those who want it can get it, and the non-initiates will have to mail it to you because we don't have enough to go around on the trip where we're going. So we'll leave it, if you want to leave your address, we're going to mail it to you. But they only cost $8.95 each. But we're trying to give the initiate first for two reasons. They have already gone through the process of working out certain internal actions, and they understand what the tape is supposed to do. The tape, I will explain again, primarily is a therapeutic process for realigning the endocrine glands. Normally the endocrine glands do not line themselves up. Man has tried with music, singing, and chanting, and playing all kinds of instruments for centuries to affect the endocrine glands. His hands cannot keep up the rhythm long enough before it burns out. And the instrument can be repetitive enough with the voice before you. It takes a certain length of time of repetition to trigger the gland, and a certain length of time to make it functional do corrective work in the body. So most of the ancient people and most of the songs that have come down in religious have only turned the ignition switch on in the gland. It never brought it to the state where the glands corrected problems in the body. Now, Ponce de Leon was the first man, before he left Europe, to be interested in rejuvenation of the cellular structure. He was told by the oracles of that time that the fountain of youth was in the new world, but he needed the golden violin in order to accomplish the result. He became a great violinist himself, and he traveled from Europe all the way to the new world, right down to Florida, looking for the fountain of youth, but he never found it. The fountain of youth is not some location. It's a gland in you that shuts down at the age of 12. That's the thymus. It doesn't turn off. It turns down itself, causing the body to go into progressive aging. It cannot be activated by chemistry. You've tried. It doesn't come back up. But in a strange way, resonance or sound can stimulate it to cause it to react. But we don't have people capable of staying long enough with an instrument or with a voice to react it. You can bring it to the point where it will come up what wouldn't correct problems. When the synthesizer was discovered, and Kitaro was the first man to use it as an instrument for entertainment in the art world, we realized that we have discovered a way to maintain a resonance longer than normal on the band. 8 years ago, we put it together, sorting out the many grams and see how long it takes for them to kick over in order to produce a normal pH factor in them. It took a lot of long time, and that's why it seemed like a repetitious condition. But then we were validating what early man said, prayer unceasingly, mantra yoga and all the different ways of repeating in the brain to phase down the effect of the oscillation in the glandular system. And we realize we accomplish something that what little Burbank tried to accomplish in a walnut tree. He reduced the time to eat walnuts
within its own cell and experienced the bonding of the atomic functions within a cellular mass. And that is what enlightenment is all through the centuries. That's why they said, unless you're born again, thou can't have egg in the kingdom. We use all these terms to indicate a biological atomic process. With the advent of the modern technology, we are testing it constantly, and three things stand out in these days. One, the endocrine gland, especially the thymus, is reactivating itself as evidence. Two, the youthfulness of the body is returning with more vitality. Three, the extrasensory capabilities are turning on for the first time in the human being by feeling the cells being fed directly by the resonance and eliminating the different stress levels of the tissues. Are there more? Well, we're not going to wait. Those three are constantly manifesting. Now, many people have taken the tape, and for the first time they were aggravated by it. Then later on they got to like it, simply because something happened when they worked. Wherever they work, they notice this is what happened. First, the people in the place that they work at are angry. But at the end of the week, they compare the cash register. The days that they played the record, the sales were up. And the days they didn't play the record on the tape, the sales were back up. And this is what has been observed by a lot of people who first did not want to listen to the tapes, even though they were initiates themselves and their friends. And they're finding out that this is happening very strange in their business. Last time I went through here, I had a friend whose name is, I call him Boogie Woogie, but his name is Ed. He went up to California, he put the tape on in the place where he was working, his boss was angry, he pulled it out. So when the boss wasn't there, he played the tape all day, and the sales went up $100. The next day when the boss was there, he didn't play the tape, and the sales went back down. So every time Ed goes to work, the sales are up $100. Every time the boss goes to work, it's in. So the boss is kind of puzzled after a week or two, what kind of deal is this? Only when he's around, the sales are high. So the boss asked him, what is it you're doing? He said, I only play a tape. What, you mean that crazy thing you got? He said, yeah. So the boss said, okay, play it today, let's see. And both of them, they were Saturday. And sales were up.
Uh-huh.
The customers were coming in. What kind of crazy tape you got here? Yeah, that's all new.
And so this was the thing he observed, and a few other people have made the same discovery.
But there are more things that are happening. So we're not looking at the mirror. We're looking at the basic transformation of the cells and its cleansing routine. That's what we're interested in. And cutting the gap of time to relive the experience of this permanent embodiment. This is the active experience.
That's this three-quarter speed.
the regular one, the first one,
is the original speed is from moving myself to the oven, and the oven myself often work here by themselves independently.
Independent, okay. What, does that have any glandular effect?
Yes,
or?
Because the sperm in the man builds up from childhood, and then before he gets married, he has this urge to be a financial success. The sperm uses the set to work through the glandular system, the endocrine system, and bring it up to the peak performance. So it relinquishes all the traumatic conditions set up in the body during that stage before marriage or commitment. Equally true, the woman, her body has this pattern. So the DNAs and RNAs work with the endocrine glands to bring the ovum up to a peak. Now, when they marry or have a union, there's a transference of this DNAs and RNAs into each organ pattern, and therefore there's a bonding effect going on. So there's an exchange of electrical and magnetic charges at a resonance level, and then the chemical level takes over as a tangible measurement. So the pH factors in the glands begin to register for the first time their normal operational quality. Now, it's a type of music not designed for art. And we said last time, as brothers, there's a difference between music as art and music as therapy. Art, the composer brings the consciousness up of the individual to how far he wants to go with the art of the music and brings it back to him. In therapy, it isn't that. There is no such projection. It is a playing of songs within the scale and utilizing certain prayers that have been handed down for centuries by men to repeat in order to bring some kind of a stability. If you just put to the musical scale, and if you can recognize them, fine. If you can't recognize them, they're still going on. But the conscious repetition and the length of time to kick over the endocrine gland is the purpose behind it. So it's a therapeutic process.
One thing I was wondering about, and that is, I don't quite follow why the synthesizer enabled you to do this. When, for instance, someone just running a violin bow like this, they could do that for 8 or 10 or 12 hours, and they could just keep going. And so I don't quite understand why the synthesizer has a...
I'd like to see the person move his hand. Either 10 hours without deviation on a violin.
It's not only that, it's two different tones. I mean, you wouldn't have, it wouldn't be the same resonance from going back and forth.
Well, I don't know if that's a point that he's
making.
Assessing why it can't be done.
Or someone who is circular breathing on an instrument or something like
that. Their mechanism isn't going to hold up. They're going to get tired.
But are there notes on here that hold for the whole tape?
Because it's set to the electrical equipment and keep it going there all the time to get back. So it's not going to deviate. That's how come they were able to accomplish it. It's been tested by several researchers to see what is actually doing the electrical guns. That's why we knew that the synthesizer was referred to as the golden violin. It was the name given to it by the oracle. Not an actual instrument, but an instrument that can hold a tone longer than normal that the human frame would not hold, and have it have a definite effect on the endocrine gland. So even if you use a synthesizer for art and not use it for therapy, that instrument can hold notes longer for the artist, but the artist himself cannot hold by just playing. That's the essence of the whole purpose of the instrument being discovered, and it was inferred to Ponce de Leon, and he became a violinist himself, but he never accomplished the condition, looking for to drink like some liquid. And in actuality, it's the finest man. Mm-hmm. Now, if you deactivate the I don't know if you ever saw a plant called the crucifixion plant. They sell it in some of those Indian stores on the way down across this country.
Mm-hmm.
It's called crucifixion plant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you put it in water, what does it do? It opens up and keeps growing, right? You take it out of water, it closes up, but it never dies.
Yeah.
You can buy them for $250, I think. I wish I had budgeted. And that is exactly how the tiny, that is a physical plant representing how the thymus gland works in the bunch of cellular functions in the endocrine gland of the thymus. When it hears musical resonance, it vibrates. When it doesn't hear musical resonance, it starts to close down. That's how come the statement, if music be the food of the soul or the soil, cellular resonance, play on. Because it will open up more and more the thymus, and then the body will show definite non-aging processes.
Did you meet a Jim Oliver in Santa Fe who's using music for healing and medicine?
Jim Oliver?
Yes. He said you were in Santa Fe.
No, I haven't met Jim Oliver.
He's using synthesizers of music to heal and to neurology.
These were some friends that I visited from Jim.
So is it the tone production, if it's sustained for a long time on the note produces, does it have to remain steady?
Yes.
The frequency, all the whole waveform must be exact.
There's a certain length of time required by the endocrine gland for that resonance to trigger it.
Right.
That's what is important about it. It doesn't trigger over before a certain length of time.
Right.
That is why they've tried for centuries through singing and open heart, love, and all these things to get that emotional. But it never went long enough.
Mm.
Had they gone long enough, they'd have instantaneous cures in their body.
Mm.
That doesn't say instantaneous cures do not exist, but it's locked in for resonance and sonics in the endocrine glands over a certain length of time when the resonance triggers it to do its job. You can take your key and turn the ignition switch, but if you don't shift the gear, where are you going to go? The engine will run the gas out right there, and then you got to fill up more gas. And that's exactly what we do with a normal voice and a normal playing of an instrument. We are turning the ignition on in the gland, but we're not holding it long enough within that frequency to make a shift. And that is why in the early centuries, they were searching for some way to make that shift. And finally, when we came to the discovery of the synthesizer, it was the only instrument that can hold something long enough to set up a resonance effect on the gland, that it did make a shift to change the pH factor and to go from too fast to long or too slow to long. But left by itself, it would just resonate, but wouldn't make shifts.
Mm-hmm. So, is there a specific effect each time, for instance, say a piano player is playing a really fast piece, and they play it first very fast, and then they cut it by 3/4 or a half or whatever in time. What does that produce a certain effect in the listener? Of some kind of therapeutic value, if it's just an art piece of music, or is it only with a therapeutic tape like this?
Mm-hmm. In art, is going to stimulate their emotional level.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to affect the endocrine gland in terms of correcting an illness in the cellular structure. It has to reach a certain length of time for it to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, you have a car out there, you want to go home, and you turn on the ignition and sit behind the wheel and not shift the gear. You go home.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly what
they're doing some real great experiments that have been proven with sound with plants and
dam crawls from the Minnesota to the back then.
Yeah, but it has to stay within a certain length of time for it to kick over to do it. And so, a lot of the research there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess I'll hold hands and give you all good loving and joy.
A party, yeah.